Good evening and welcome to our annual memorial service. It's good to see each one here. We also welcome those that are listening in and watching. It's good to worship together this evening. I think it's in Psalm 96, I believe 9, it says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." I forget the rest of that verse, but the thought of worship was on my mind. In my devotional this morning, the author had an excellent composition about worship, and I'd like to maybe read some of that. Some of you probably already read it. I know some of you use "Beside the Still Waters," and I just underlines a few of the thoughts that the author had here. "When assembling with God's people at a worship service, we can unite together in lifting our hearts and voices in spontaneous worship to our great God. With one accord, we share together in Christian fellowship by singing, praying, hearing God's word, and encouraging one another in brotherly love. True worship is an endeavor of the heart, a living response to the Holy God, our Maker and Redeemer. With all, we humbly bow before our Sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator and Controller of the universe. We come before the One who cares for us and loves us with an everlasting love. Worship involves an attitude of the heart, an inward spiritual reality, whereby the Spirit of God infills us and directs our lives. God must be the center of our worship. Let us exalt and praise Him, who alone is worthy of our adoration." Certainly, worship is a vital part of the Christian life. It should be a way of life, really. Not just on Sundays. We need to worship each day of the week. As far as announcements, let's keep those in prayer. There's quite a few that need our prayers. I didn't bring my prayer list along, but there's quite a few that need our prayers. And I know even there's some unspoken requests that are out there too. We need to keep our brothers and sisters in prayer. We have with us tonight Brother Luther Patches from the White Oak Congregation, and he'll be bringing the message tonight. One impression I always had of Brother Luther was, here's a man that enjoys preaching the gospel. I always got that. It seems like preaching is certainly not a burden to him, and I always appreciated that. And while I'm up here, I think I'll give a memory of, this goes back pretty far. I think it was 1990, Brother Luther had a revival here. Do you remember? Back then, we had it in June because, I don't know, that's before we went to March, but it was beginning of June. And he had a week's revival. I think the reason I remember is him and Brother Merle were at our place for an evening meal. And I remember where I was working at the time. But it's funny what you remember. I remember he couldn't make it the one evening because his daughter graduated. Next, I'll give Denise his age away here. He got Caleb Kreider to come and fill in for him that Friday evening. I'm wondering how many remember that. I don't see any hands on them. But for some crazy reason, I remember that. But, Caleb Kreider was in the Milton Yo of White Oak. I mean, if you'd go over there, he would find you after the service some way or another. I mean, he was that type of person. And you all remember Milton. It was hard for a visitor to get away from him after a service here. And I was thinking, you know, hospitality should be, it shouldn't be an option. It should be something that's part of our DNA, you know, as believers. We need to all practice hospitality. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Josh is going to lead us in prayer. And we're going to have a song, Brother Colin, for the, we take an offering for the upkeep of the cemetery. And we'll lift the offering, and then Brother Josh will lead us in scripture and prayer, and then Brother Luther will bring the message of the evening.
Good evening. So Brother Luther has asked us to read from 2 Corinthians 4, 1-7. So while you're turning there, Art wanted me to mention that there will be a time for, a testimony or memories given at the end after Luther is done, whoever is closing, I guess, will give opportunity for that. So you can keep that in mind and maybe think about something that you would like to share here at the end. And while I'm up here, I was thinking about memories of some of those who have passed on. The two, I guess, that came to my mind right here at the forefront of my mind are obviously my grandpa, my Pappy Yo. I also thought of Chris, Sister Chris, and just thinking about the lives they lived and the memories we have, the testimonies of their lives. And yeah, we have a lot of good memories, and yeah, left a good testimony to each of us, for each of us. And I'm sure there's many others also that will come to your mind as you think about memories of those who have passed on. So for the scripture here, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 4, 1-7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So as I read over that there, I just was thinking about each of us shining that light and the ministry of the gospel. It is both the preaching of the gospel, but it's also just the testimony of each of our lives as we live each day, as we live our lives. Who and what are we living for? A challenge I also take from this is, are we living for Christ, or is our life a testimony and a shining light that is pointing others to Christ? Can they see that's why we are here? We are, you know, we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He saved us. He redeemed us. That's who we are living for. Let's continue to live for the glory of God. Let's kneel, I guess, for prayer.
I stand up tonight. I say this many times, but I say again, it's by the grace of God that we're standing here. Brother Archie, you kind of caught me. I remember I had revival here, but when you say Caleb Crider, that came back, but I couldn't have brought that up without someone saying it. It's amazing to me, May the 29th is my father's birthday, and I was called to the Christian ministry 51 years ago. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, and wait till I sit down and see what you think after 51 years. But by God's grace, we stand here, and our desire is to appropriately open God's word together. I must confess, as I tried to bring this message together and the surrounding thoughts of Memorial Day, that I struggled a little bit. I did look up a little bit what Memorial Day, how it began, and was put together. It's my understanding it was 1868, a few years after the Civil War, that they would honor the Union soldiers, and it was first called Decoration Day, where they would decorate the tombs. Because of that, they expanded it later on, I believe it was World War I, to other American fatalities. For myself, I felt somewhat conflicted, and I know you didn't want a message concerning the military memorials that we think of, and we have a specific reason why we would not do that. We will not go into that tonight. But I believe as Christians, we should properly remember those that have gone on before us. Tonight, I'd like to illustrate a remembering of one who served. I'm not sure why I thought of it exactly at this time, except it was a few years back. I had an experience with a man in Maine, and I just will briefly tell you about that. There was a man in the Sanford congregation. His name was Bob Johnson. And I was looking for his place. It's quite a ways from the church, and it was Stevens Hill Road. And I remembered this has to be the place where this man's lived, but I couldn't find it because of the way it was situated in the driveway. So I stopped at a place very close to it, and I went and knocked on the door, and Bob was expecting me. So I tried the door, and the door was open. I said, "Hello, Bob." And he answered me, but it wasn't Bob Johnson. His name was Bob Lincoln Taylor. And I consider this very providential, and the reason I raise it tonight, just to lift up a point of this, and we'll see later on. This man was in his 90s. His wife passed away. He had no children. In other words, he was the last of the last. And here comes someone asking for Bob, and it was Bob Lincoln Taylor. And at many visits, long story short, various ones visited him, and we would talk to him, and he was somewhat of an agnostic man. And we talked to him, and at one point he said to me, "You're trying to convert me." That was his response. He had a dog walked around the bed, and that was practically deaf. He didn't know anyone was there. But here he was lying on his bed. He had two rings above his bed. He grabbed a hold of this hand, he had shrapnel wounds in both shoulders, and to get this hand up, he would go like this to get to the ring so he could move his body. But we had some good conversations. One time we were visiting there, my wife went along with me, and we're talking like we did before, and I felt impressed to ask this man if he would pray the sinner's prayer. And I could not believe it. He prayed that prayer word for word. My wife heard it. And I would say to me, that was very providential. I do not take credit. The Lord only knows the state of that man's soul, but he's no longer here. I might say, after that visit, he went to the hospital. I called his nurse, and I asked if she would read the 23rd Psalm to this man. And very shortly after that, he died. I have very few experiences with a military man, but that's one experience I will never forget. And to me tonight, I find that as a challenge that we might be able not just to remember The point I want to make tonight, and I like the way it was brought out in devotional, if you look at verse 6 of our chapter this evening, it says, "For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And that's what we tried to do. And tonight, as I look at this subject further, I believe it's an act of faithfulness in representing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. I respect those that have served in the military. Like I said, that's a big subject. I respect them because if you think about what's happening in the world today, there's a lot of changes. We have some freedom, and that's a whole subject in itself. But I believe we do well tonight to recall each one of us, and I believe I sense this already, your desire is to remember those that have done, that have taken the light, they've been faithful passing the light, and I believe it's our responsibility that we take up the light that they've shown, and maybe they didn't do real well always, and we put forth that light that the next generation can see and remember. And if I can just interject here, the thought as I prepared this message, we possibly can't recall all that could be said. And I think it's with us, we have quite a few memorial services. But God knows all the risks mentioned, and those, and I hesitate to even bring up various ones. I know you know who passed in this congregation, same at White Oak, and I believe that we could add many others that I purposely have tried not to include a list, knowing that I would miss some. And then there's families connected to your families and how they respond. One of the best ways, I believe, tonight is to decorate the graves of loved ones who have passed on, is to live a life that would reflect and build, which would truly decorate their grave, if I can put that in quotes, and be able to keep that perspective in the mind. It speaks about a lot about the lights, and as I suggested, to hold up the light. And I want to say again, there are some families that when you look back, it's not really pleasant. There are some things there that you don't like to see, and I was impressed to bring this in somewhere. I might say it again. There are some things that have been done that when you look at chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Those things, when they're brought under the blood of Jesus Christ, can be forgotten. And if you're like us, there is some things you don't like to know or see. It can be put under the blood, and we can still remember what Christ has accomplished for them. I had Brother Josh read up the verse 7. I like to read verses 8 through 10 just to add to what verse 7 says when it says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Listen to verse 10. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." To me, that's a very, very positive verse. So in many ways, we can recall, we see those memories, and we can give possibly some examples at the end of this service. I encourage you, I think what makes a message helpful is when we can connect and we can confirm what was said, and then we'll go and be light, a better light, being a powerful witness. I don't want to stay here too long, but that do you ever think that in a couple generations, most of us will be forgotten? Do you ever think about that? I heard read of a professor that tried something, and he asked, and I'm going to ask you, how many of you know your great-grandparents? How many of you know great-grandparents? A few. And if you know your great-grandparents, I know my great-grandparents' name, but how many of you know where they're buried? I remember I see a couple hands, but not anymore. That illustrates most of us will not be remembered after so many generations. But I believe tonight, and this is how he ended up saying, he said, just want those to know that God knows every one of them and they were loved. And our devotion to God's call and his claim in our lives provides the groundwork that ultimately matters. So the real memorial service for all of us is not only remember all that they did, but who they knew, but God as that they knew that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior and God was his our Father. This is the decorating of the graves that I like to keep before us tonight, what they stood for. And as I was writing this, I said before, and if there's anyone here tonight that struggles with some of the things in your past heritage, that we can know that there are things that if many times the next generation struggles with some of the things that they wrestle with. And if you're struggling tonight, we can take that, put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can break the chain. We don't have to take those things that are hard to talk about, and we can put them at a very good place. I like to go back to 1 Kings chapter 4. I know you'll know who this is talking about. 1 Kings chapter 4, some really nice things were said about King Solomon. 1 Kings 4, verses 31 through 34. We're familiar with this. It's referring to Solomon because verse 30 talks about it, but it says in verse 31, for he was wiser than the men of Etham, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcanah, and Darda, and the son of Mahal, and his fame was in all nations round about. He spake 3,000 proverbs, his songs were 1,005, and he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even under the hyssop that springeth up out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. That sounds rather glorious, doesn't it? But we also know what 1 Kings chapter 11 says. And I struggle with that sometimes. But we know the God of heaven knows the whole situation there. And I'm saying tonight, that's a challenge to me to keep a perspective. Not that we get down, but we can look past and keep our eye fixed on the one that gives us a perspective, looked ahead with positive strength and courage. But I want to say, second point tonight, we don't need any more heroes. Now, I say that carefully. You know what makes a hero today? Many times, it's celebrities. Because of social media, you hear a lot about them, and all of a sudden, this man's name spread everywhere. And in some ways, it becomes a hero. And I think young people need to be careful when there's some real heroes, so to speak, because their name is simply splashed everywhere, not to think too quickly and think they're really, really great. Most of us know of Hebrews chapter 11. We often refer to that as heroes of faith. Maybe that's not the best word, but they were the true heroes because of what they experienced. I read a book called Famous Christians by Anna Talbot McPherson. And she wrote something in the foreword which I thought was very significant, and I'd like to share with you tonight. I have written not primarily to pay tribute to the characters themselves, but to remember the exceeding grace of God in them. That grace, which is first of us free to you and to me, as it was to them. If we're willing to go the same length of sacrifice, think that through. I really admire someone that can take the facts of someone's past life and give a perspective in such a helpful way. It makes you admire them, but to be able to think through The things they experienced was what really made them great. It wasn't that they were just a fantastic person. They went through some things that possibly we never learn. And having said that, we talked about Hebrews chapter 11. And when Abraham, we know he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. But you know tonight, at one point, he called Sarah, his wife, his sister. So we can learn something there. He was great. Then Moses, he was an excellent leader. But we know there was a time where he had to learn from his error, and he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now, when he came out, then he was truly someone to be remembered because of what he learned. I'm lifting that up to us tonight. And we could say the same about David. And we look at Samson, Elijah, and dare to be a Daniel. Those are the things that we can really talk when we talk about having memorial services. And I like to say here, this is a two-kingdom world we live in. And we have to be careful when we're looking at the one kingdom, we're not confusing it with the other. And again, I'll have to let that there. I think you know what I'm saying. But thirdly tonight, and here's where we want to look at the bright lights. We want to be that bright light in a secular culture. And can I say tonight that's becoming very more difficult to keep that perspective. We need to look to see what we see. We need to live in light of the lights that we have. So we respond correctly, or we'll be on one side. Someone said you can be on track, but it's so easy to go off on either side and get unbalanced. That's a challenge I like to keep before us this evening. I attended the Billboard Evangelism meeting, and some of you are familiar with that, down at Martin's Reception Center, put on by Christian Aid Ministries. And they lifted up the questions they asked and how they presented and how people responded. The point is, the light that is given and how people respond. And I admire the people that answer those questions when the phone calls come in, that they can help people and you can truly have a memorial service thinking of Jesus Christ. I believe one of the ways to help us is to read the scriptures and see the emphasis that we should have. Very quickly, I know you're familiar with this. I'm going back to Matthew chapter 5, and all depending how you read this, you have to have some carefulness. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, and under a candlestick, and on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In light of what we're lifting up tonight and memories, that verse really stood out to me. Ye are the light of the world. They shone, how are we shining? Just another scripture is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, get it here, verse 17. The scripture says, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. Now he's talking about the Apostle Paul. And there's a lot of good memories that go with that tremendous leader in the church. But listen, here he says, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. That's a challenge. I don't know if I could say that quite like he did it. But there's a following that example. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, for this cause have I left unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I'm aware that some of these verses possibly we have used in a different way at different places, but just to lift that the part of being an example, being that witness. Our great prisoner lesson through gospel echo teams, and sometimes they share some really hard things. And I'll remind them, if you receive Jesus Christ, you're a new creation, and when they see a new you, that becomes a very powerful witness when you can say, I have experienced this. Are you with me tonight? I believe that can be our experiences, that we come through and we can say, you can follow me as I follow Christ. Now, we refer to the scriptures. I believe there's a very another excellent ways for us to remember those who've gone before us. And that is biographies of those that have gone before. Now, I know a lot of you don't have a biography written about yourself, but I've always appreciated the ability of some to put together real good, solid biographies that it helps us to see what was accomplished through the suffering and the affliction that possibly received. One writer that I read was J. Oswald Sanders. He says, to read the lives of great consecrated men and women is to kindle in our home, in our own heart, for God, some of the things they experience. We know about William Carey, and I'm mentioning some. I don't know which ones we have to be careful we don't hold some up higher than they should be, but there's William Carey, Adoniram Judson. I just reread Hudson Taylor. There's Charles Stubb, Albert Simpson. I particularly like George Mueller. I really liked his emphasis in prayer and some of the things he learned and the emphasis in his life. One of the things that stood out to me was how many men that were great missionaries read the biography of David Brainerd. You know how old he was when he died? He was in his 20s. But some of the things he suffered was a tremendous challenge to younger men as they read the life of David Brainerd. I believe reading good biographies forms an important part of our Christian education. Now, you used to have a school here. I don't know what you have in that school, but I believe that could be a very good part of it, educating our children. But it provides a number of illustrations that we can use, and we can assess the value, and we can develop a character, and we glimpse the work of how it has helped them. And just more could be said on that. We talked earlier about so many celebrities, but I believe the real heroes of faith, and I felt especially impressed to share this tonight, the real heroes of the faith isn't the one that hears splashed over the news like we heard before, but we take the time to ponder by reading. You know what? That means you get off your phone. Now, you can read on a computer, and some said, if I can't get on my Kindle, I won't read it. I still believe there's some merit in having some old books, and you go back and mark it and put a place that you go back to and say, this is where I saw this, instead of just pressing an app and then soon gone. I'm encouraging young people to take biographies. In our home, we have a part of the bookcase that has biographies. If you want a biography, that's where you go, and you can read it. Biographies, and we might grow with their example. And to grow, it takes some pondering. Now, as I come to close our time of reflection tonight, there are some ways I feel that I have just begun. There are so many that we could lift up, and I really do not want to lift one over the other. But there's some present-day opportunities I think are available. We talked about some biographies. I don't know how you feel about this, but I think one of the greatest efforts is the Christian Museum out in Ohio and the Noah's Ark representation. We were there personally, and I don't believe you can leave those facilities without being challenged in some way to take a different way. And I believe you can make memories when you make that point of reference. One biography I really enjoyed was Dr. Paul Brand. The work that he has done with the leprosy people. And you know that his mother was on the mission field in her 90s. Now, I want to say she needed some help later on when she was in her 90s. She didn't always do it quite maybe like they thought she should have. But the fact that Paul Brand's mother was on the mission field in her 90s. Here's one I'm careful. Ben Carson. Now, just hold on. He wrote Gift of Hands. He wrote a number of books. I was really disappointed when he ran for president. When I read those books, he had a deep concept that when he was separating children's heads that were joined, and he was on a very sensitive area of the body, he talked about praying very carefully. How much pressure on the brain, how much not pressure? I just found it a challenge to hear his testimony. Then we could talk in the area of the Anabaptist heritage. There's John Klein. And we know the situation there. As I was preparing this message, I was reading on the side a book called Faith Child by Laura Schmucker. Did anyone read that yet? If you don't, you should. It's a fairly new book. They have three handicapped children. Three. And some very, I won't tell you the details, the very challenging things took place. In the end, I believe his name was Grant, could really give praise to the Lord what God had done in his life. So as I come to the end of this service tonight, I just want to challenge us to have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look back, if there's some hard things, to put that under the blood of Jesus Christ, read those biographies, become familiar, and that we get to the place or are at the place that we ponder deeply, and then we have the light that we too can share in memorial to those that have gone before us. Now it's your opportunity. I don't know how long you have, so if you want to get yours in, you have to get in early. But I think it really helps if someone is pressed by the Spirit to share a testimony that it could be helped with some of the others here this evening. Lord bless you as you've come tonight for this service.
I wanted to say thank you for that, Luther. I'm glad that he made comment that we're human and there is things in our past that probably don't shed well on our memorial. But for some of us, it's quite obvious we have a lot less to go than we went. But the important thing is how are we going to finish? Right? So I know people who have passed on, and I could force myself to remember the bad. But the things I do remember very readily are the good. And that, I'm looking at heroes here tonight. Because this is what's going to be in the generations to come. That yous are what me, Luther, what we're passing on. People who may or not be behind the pulpit. Recent years, Brother Arthur. Brother Arthur Arndt. I think of him often. He was a fixer. My mom called him when the furnace broke back in the 60s and 70s. No preacher, but he's a hero. So I'm looking at heroes. And just how are we going to finish? What are they going to remember in time to come about us? So let's stand for a word of prayer.